You're listening to Community Radio 2XX 98.3 FM, and this is Radio Freedom Anarchy on the airwaves. You're with Stephen and James, and we'll be around till about midday today. Well, what is anarchy all about? An anarchist society is a voluntary, non-hierarchical society based on the creation of social and political structures which allow all people equal decision-making power and equal access to society's wealth. Well, on the program today, we'll be taking a further look at the events in Washington that occurred last week, basically from the 15th of April and a few days after that, basically following on from last week's program. We'll of course be crossing to the anarchist world this week in Melbourne to Joe Toscano and Michael Smith and hear what they've got to say this week. And if we have time, well, we'll sort of try and wrap up our discussion on crime, which we started about 3 weeks ago now. But I think to start off today, we will cross via the community radio satellite to the studios of 3CR in Melbourne to Joe Toscano and Michael Smith, where they'll be talking about Anzac Day.
Now let's start off with Anzac Day. That's right. Anzac Day, you can feel the tremor in my voice. Now look, I want to talk about facts today. We don't want to talk about myths. We want to talk about facts. Because every Anzac Day, I do a little thing. I send off a little letter about Anzac Day to each major publisher in this country, hoping against hope that occasionally one will be published, but never published. And why do I do this? I do this because we're constantly told that Australia are there all celebrating Anzac Day and what Anzac Day means, that it is a great celebration for the nation. It is a great celebration for the Australian people. It is a defining moment in Australian history. And I think to myself now, have I read the same history books? Have I seen the same films? Have I looked at the same facts as I've been portrayed in the mass media in this country about Anzac Day? What is this defining moment in Australian history? What is Anzac Day all about? And I think, and I go back to the original situation, and I look at the slogan which Anzac Day encapsulates, the very kernel, the very essence of Anzac Day, and it's least or lest we forget. That's right, lest we forget. Lest we forget what? Lest we forget the tragedy of war, and lest we forget the men and women from Australia who have died in war in the last 100 years. I mean, that is the very essence of Anzac Day. It is a celebration or a get-together when people get together to look at the horrors of wars and to remember those who died in war. It is a day of remembrance. That's what Anzac Day is all about. That is the very essence of Anzac Day. That is the very kernel, that is the very truth. And over the last decade, what we have seen is a total turnaround in what Anzac Day is about. And we've seen successive governments and the media and the RSL grabbing this day as their day and somehow trying to fan the flames of nationalism as far as this day is concerned. And when we think about it, let's think about it. What was Anzac Day? What was World War One? Well, World War One was essentially a trade war that was fought by workers on either side of a bayonet. 60,000 Australians died, but almost 25 million other working people, working class people, died across the planet. And did they die for the personal freedoms, for liberty? No. If you look at the garbage surrounding World War One, it's all about essentially a trade war, where the Kaiser was fighting the great British Empire, which where the sun never set. There was no such thing as about freedom. And it really makes me nauseous to see 15 and 16 year old children parroting the phrase that we support We're here on Anzac Day because of the sacrifices which were made for these men so that we may enjoy freedom today. Not that I blame them. What I blame is this whole revisionist history which has been built up around World War One, around Anzac Day, which is peddling the lies and the myths. We're seeing lies upon lies, slanders upon slanders. And that's why I'm saying the Holocaust revisionist, David Irving, must be wondering what he did wrong. What he did wrong to be called a fascist and a liar and a racist and an anti-Semite by the High Court or the Supreme Court or whatever in England in his defamation case. Now, he must be wondering what I have done pales into insignificance to what the Australian media, the Australian opposition and the Australian government and to a large degree the Australian people are doing as far as the Anzac myth is concerned. The first myth is that Australia was a united country which supported sending their boys to fight for the British Empire during World War One. The facts are diametrically opposed. The Australian nation was a divided nation. Two conscription referendums were defeated in December 1916 and 1917. If you look at any of the historical records of the period, you'll notice that working class people fought consistently against the participation in World War One, which they essentially saw as a trade war between different leadership groups who were trying, to extend their commercial interests overseas. The war to end all wars had nothing to do with personal liberty, nothing to do with freedom, nothing to do with anything but trade. And the Australian people saw through the government-induced hysteria and propaganda and nationalism and jingoism and defeated two conscription referendums. At the forefront of this struggle were the industrial workers of the world who, for their troubles, for opposing conscription, had their organisation banned, had their assets seized. Hundreds were jailed for belonging to an illegal organisation. Others were jailed on trumped up charges, and two were hung at Goulburn Jail in New South Wales in 1917 for their troubles. And when people think about Anzac Day, I shed a tear for those men and women who fought to save the lives of tens and thousands of Australian men who would have been sent overseas in World War One to be used literally as cannon fodder by the imperialistic armies on both sides. Because that is the reality of World War One. The reality of World War One is we're seeing carnage, now packaged up as sacrifice. We're seeing blind obedience to orders, where people go to face certain death as some type of spiritual catharsis for the Australian nation, as some type of beginning for the Australian nation. We're seeing lie piled upon lie. We see military blunders being celebrated as victories. We see the destruction of 60,000 men, volunteers, from Australia's shores as some type of heroic bloodletting to begin this so-called nation of Australia. And when you look at the lies that are peddled by the media in this country, when you look at how the government has latched on to the Anzac Day myths and is now using the very celebration which supposedly looks at the horrors of war and most importantly remembers the sacrifices of those men and women who have died in wars from Australia's shores, we now have the ridiculous situation, not only ridiculous, but obnoxious situation where the media and the government twist the truths, twist the facts and uses Anzac Day to fan the flames of a new jingoism, a new nationalism. And in that struggle, what we are seeing is that we are forgetting the very essence of Anzac Day. And the RSL, the media, the government, the opposition are all there united in peddling these lies, in peddling a mountain of lies. And no wonder poor old David Irvin kind of wonders, what have I done? When I peddle my lies, and I'm branded an anti-Semite, and a racist, and a mongrel, and a bounder, but then I see the Australian government and the Australian media peddle more lies than I've even thought of. And they're seen as heroes. They're seen as heroines. It's seen as a defining moment of the nation. Look, if we want a defining moment of the nation, why don't we remember the troops who fought at Milne Bay in the Second World War, who were the first troops who defeated the Imperial Japanese Army, who prevented the invasion of Northern Australia by the Japanese Imperial Forces, by the fascist Imperial Forces, you know, from Japan. If we want a defining moment, I mean, what's happened to the people who fought at Milne Bay? I mean, we seem to have forgotten about these people because they don't fit in to this myth. Because now, as the Anzacs have died out, the government and the media and the Australian people can twist the facts to suit the present. A military debacle, a carnage, a slaughter, and unnecessary deaths, a trade war being fought by workers on both sides of a bayonet, is now being glorified as a moment of supreme sacrifice, as a moment when the Australian character was forged in the fields of blood, as the moment when the Australian nation reached adulthood. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at the facts. And let's remember that Anzac Day is about remembering people who died in war from this country, some necessarily, some unnecessarily. Let's not make it some type of quasi-religious, political experience to suit the jingoistic and nationalistic agenda of the government. And what's even more disgusting about the situation is the all-encompassing media blackout on the reality, on the history, on the facts of what's actually happened. And it just makes me ill to pick up a newspaper the day after Anzac Day or the week preceding Anzac Day and look at the lies that have been peddled. And I wondered to myself, David Irvine, anti-Semite, racist, scum. John Howard, well, I think if he had to go to the same court of law and peddle his Anzac myths, he may find that at the end of the day, people will hold him and the organisations which support him in the same line. So let's put some reality, let's put some sense, let's put some facts back into the Anzac Day celebrations, and let's take it back from the hands of these people who are using it to suit their own short-term political and nationalist ends. Because once that happens, you know, facts and myths become one, and we will be saddled with this garbage. I assume you celebrate.
Oh, of course.
Look, I know I may be sounding a little bit on my high horse today, but I just cannot envisage so many lies being peddled and nobody saying, hey, hold on, that's not the truth. That's a bloody lie. I mean, the bigger the lie, it looks like the old Goebbels equation, the bigger the lie,
the easier it is to get away with it.
Or to swallow. Yeah. It's just amazing. But what's even more amazing is the total blackout on a sensible discussion of what's happening, because somehow they're all trying to find that defining, unifying moment when the Australian people became the Australian people. Is it when we exterminated the Indigenous people? No. Is it Australia Day? No, because those pesky Indigenous people weren't exterminated, and they keep claiming it's not nice to celebrate Australia Day on Invasion Day. Mm. I mean, what is a day? And they've latched on to a remembrance ceremony where people remembered the dead and now are using and manipulating the emotions around that to suit an emerging nationalist agenda where this unnecessary sacrifice is lauded as some type of almost supernatural beginning of the Australian nation, as if Zeus came down and stuck the bloody lightning bolt in the beaches of Gallipoli and said, we are now a nation because blood has been spilt here. Blood has been spilt for a trade war and we are a nation. I mean, I know this is akin to treason.
Very un-Australian.
But it isn't. We are very Australian. This is it. This is what I'm saying.
I know.
We are Australians.
Mm-hmm.
We are very Australian.
Honest Australians.
Honest Australians who are looking at the truth. And I'm sick and tired. I've seen a day of remembrance being manipulated by organisations which are using it for their own short-term and long-term political agendas and political gain. I mean, that's what we are seeing. We are seeing a day which historically has been a day of remembrance being turned into a festival of Australian-ness, but based on a quagmire of lies and half-truths. I mean, is that the type of day we want to celebrate?
Not really. I mean, we seem to forget we used to shoot people during the First World War as well who were basically wouldn't continue on into battle.
Well, yeah,
become shell-shocked was to become a traitor, be shot in a lot of cases.
Some of the most moving moments of the First World War were at the end of the war when people refused to go across the trenches, when they fraternised with the enemies and they needed officers behind them to shoot them. If you weren't shot by the enemy, you were shot by your officers. So in a lot of cases, it was better to be shot by the enemy than you. At least you had a chance. With the officers, you had very little chance. But, I mean, this is the reality of World War One. If anybody travels to Europe and you look at the monuments of dead, the mounds of dead, where generals were using human beings basically as live ammunition in wars, but they didn't understand the technology had changed, and you can't push flesh and blood against submachine guns and tanks and gas. And what's even more important is what we seem to forget is all the men who came back who were wounded, who were gassed, whose experiences destroyed their family lives, whose experiences had a deep, lasting impact on their families, and whose children's children still continue to bear the impacts of that horror, which was the First World War. There is nothing emboding. I mean, there are wars occur, and there are occasionally positive aspects to war. And as I said, I mentioned the people at Milne Bay, the soldiers at Milne Bay, who over, I think it was a two-week campaign, pushed back the Japanese forces for the first time. I mean, I prefer to live in Australia under a parliamentary democracy than a fascist dictatorship, or any type of fascist dictatorship. And this is a defining moment. If you want to define the moment, this is a defining moment where these people sacrificed their lives and helped people in Australia to continue to survive. I mean, but we don't hear about that.
No.
Occasionally hear about it. Very occasionally. It's all about Anzac. It's all about these myths about the First World War. And to see the Prime Minister there...
Trotting off to Turkey again
and, you know, bathing. And seeing people say, these men died for our freedom. And for these lies to be peddled as if they are facts is just unbelievable. As I said, David Irvine would be proud. The Holocaust revisionist would be proud of the Anzac revisionists which inhabit the government echelons in this country and the opposition echelons and the RSL. I mean, revisionism is a great thing.
It's heaps of fun, isn't it?
Heaps of fun because, you know, you stretch the facts to suit your cause, go for it. Let's move on, lest we forget, as they say, lest we forget indeed, lest we forget indeed.
Head of the CIA.